Welcome, welcome one and all to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, live on Highland Radio, we're back via the podcast. Welcome to another packed show this evening. Joined by Pádraig Colfer in studio.
Pádraig, how are you doing, Brendan? It's good to see you.
You've been away a few weeks.
I missed you too. You're
haven't
away.
Changed a bit.
No, you got better looking.
You're fresh.
No, I know, I'm fresh.
You can stay. You can stay on. It's the Pádraig and Brendan show.
We can chat away, huh?
Pádraig, top. Hey, listen, we have so much to get through this evening. We're of course going to start with Downing's ladies, and absolutely amazing in the All Ireland Junior Final.
I mean, what a story!
Hey, two teams in Ireland that started off at the start of their championship to think that you're going to go down to the last two, Pádraig. Unbelievable scenes.
Some achievement by everyone.
Yeah, brilliant. Barney Curran's going to come on, their joint manager. Of course, he's there with Dominic McGrady and Mo O'Donnell, who was at the game.
Mo was busy at the weekend.
Hey, she's quite a woman, eh?
She's very busy now. You're up at the under 21.
I was up at the 21s, eh? Great game, great game.
What about these changes? Forget about them.
Well, hey, you can one-off games. I think 21s, there's at least a wee bit of innocence in there.
Aye.
Mind you, that said, particularly four masters were set up very much in the modern fashion. That's why they went into such a lead. But eventually, serious bit of courage from the Glenn Swilly men. We're
going They'll be disappointed, suppose, Glenn Swilly, you know. This.
Yeah, well, listen... The way I was seeing it there with Four Masters, everybody they play, they're up against it. So, you know, the fact that they were 163 down heading into half time, like to come back from that and even go three up in the second half, it was brave of them. You know,
it just shows you the calibre of the team that's coming, I suppose, and luck to do it under 21. I remember a couple of years ago,
yes.
Neve Connell did it at that level for I think it was four or five in a row.
I thought you were going to talk about yourself there.
No, definitely not. We always get beat.
Hey, listen, it's the taking part that counts. You know, Barry Malloy, actually from Glen Swilly, is going to call in. We're going to talk about that and a few other things. Then I have an interview with Ciarán O'Game. We chat about everything, management, the new rules.
Did he get any answers out of you, or were you one of those managers that, mentors say absolutely nothing? Because
I was asking the questions.
Oh, yeah? Did he not?
He wasn't interviewing me.
All right, then. I need to do
that's
that
how
someday.
This works. No, listen, he's a great lad. He did hit McGuinness with a couple of questions, around just the whole thing of how blanket defence evolved and that.
Yeah.
And, you know, not the kind of questions we would ask him. And
or would get away with asking him.
No, but that could be the interview, Pádraig, all right?
Yeah, I'll leave it to Ciarán then.
Aye, listen, it was a very interesting interview. It was a big four-page spread in Irish News. Now, speaking of the man himself, Jim, he'll be on the show next week.
Good, you finally got him, did
you? We're going to get a wee rendezvous.
I think Greg gave out to you today, did he?
Yeah, he was even asking. He's like, how come he's talking to Ciarán O'Keefe and he's not talking to you? Put me under pressure.
Get on it.
That's what the people above you do. They drive everybody.
We know what's in you, you see. Ashley knows what's in you.
Listen, first class. Listen, I'm looking forward to this Jimmy interview, Pádraig, you know. Maybe we should bring you along for backup.
Ah, yeah. No bother.
You might see what he's coming up with. Listen, be fascinating talking to him, of course.
Absolutely.
New rules, Michael Murphy,
exactly.
Success of last year, you know, even from his time previous, first year won Ulster All-Ireland semi-final, same as...
Well, obviously, these new rules, he's going to have a plan for them, and he might not tell you that much, but it'll be interesting to see, get his thoughts on it, don't he, Brian?
Definitely. I tell you, two people who aren't worried about new rules because they're flying this season, Mo is at the game, and Barney Curran is on the line, joint manager. Barney, listen, we're not worried. We'll park the rules for now. You've an All-Ireland final. What an occasion. Just sum it up for us.
Oh, it's hard to sum up yet. After the game, you know, there are a lot of people coming and speaking about it and congratulating you and, you know, yourself up or something like that. It's huge and it's a wee bit surreal, to be honest. And I suppose I haven't got that much real time to sit and think about it. I was home and I got my hands on the video of the Munger game. So I sat and watched that a few times last night. So it hasn't really sunk in yet, to be honest. I suppose when I'm sitting at the at the Christmas table on Christmas Day, it might hit me, you know, but not at the minute now. It's back to work again.
Yeah, I love it, Barney. Straight to the opposition. Hey, forget about everything else. Move on. Mo, what did you make of it yesterday? You were down covering it. It was an epic encounter, you know, so much at stake, but in the end, you know, a load of history has already been made and now one game away from All-Ireland champions.
Yeah, I just thought it was brilliant for Downing's, you know, small parish, small club and community, and to see the amount of people out there yesterday. And like having played myself in this scenario, just to be able to stand back and see it from a different perspective, you know, see the players out on the field playing and to see all the supporters there and droves to see their club, you know, it's just such a special moment. You can't really capture it in a day. And, you know, like it happens day on day, you go out and you're like, oh, it's another game. Lo and behold, you're in an All-Ireland final and you're just going, is this real? But it was just a fantastic spectacle down there yesterday. I mean, to see the whole community coming out and, you know, from groundsmen, you know, to people making the teas, to the management setting up before the game. And I suppose all the aspects of an All-Ireland semi-final at home in Donegal, to be able to watch that, it was just fantastic. And, you know, just the cherry on top then was Downing's and their performance out in the field. I thought they were brilliant throughout the game. Barney would say that, you know, he was a bit critical, maybe not critical, but he said we should have done more maybe in the first half. But I was looking back at the stats. They really steadied the game because he had said, which is notable to mention, was the girls were very nervous going out against Own Ruin in the Ulster semi-final at home. I suppose an occasion like that can overtake you, you know, but they steadied the ship more into the second half. But yesterday I felt they were just, you know, there was a calmness about them, you know, and they just worked as a team. It was just so special to see, and it was lovely to see. Really, really, really huge congratulations to them.
Barney, brilliant stuff. I was down on Saturday, of course, organised. Yeah, I was there as part of your sponsored ball drop. Cookie was making me get on the mic. But listen, we had a great day. The girls were all there. I got talking to a few of them, and they were out helping out and that. And I thought to myself, how grounding is that? That, you know, they're not head away from everybody. They're out and about. They're helping out, map the pitch for the fundraiser. And I thought that's a great way of just, you know, keeping everybody, you know, in terms of feet on the ground. You know, this was a huge game, but they certainly seemed like, you know, as Mo alluded to there, they were calm and they were fine enough about the occasion.
I know they were. Mo mentioned there the semi-final there against Own Ruin. They were very nervous, and so they were. And it kind of cost us for a good part of the game. We're lucky enough to get out with 1 point. But the focus of the last 2 weeks was just, all they had was two jobs, and that was do their own job. They knew where they were playing, and they knew the system for defensive, for attack. So all they do was do their own job and outwork them. And the focus was, that's all they had to do. You don't have to worry about talent. You don't have to worry about anything else. It's just put the shoulder to the wing. Everybody stick to the game plan. Work as a team. And that was the focus. That was only the focus. We didn't really look that much at them. I suppose looked at them a good bit. But we watched them with the girls last week. And went through different parts of it. And that seemed to settle them even more. Some girls like to know their job. Some girls don't like to know their job. So we kind of handled that situation. And we got the... And we had the matchups nailed down from early on in the week, so they all knew their job, and that was just know their job and outwork them, and that was the focus all week.
And suppose, Barney,
all this, a few weeks.
Get into that semi-final and having that game, the Ulster semi-final in the Downings, would have helped preparations yesterday?
Oh, 100%, Barney. We, all our games in Ulster have been tight. One was 3 points, Butler's Bridge. The other ones were 1 point on Rua, and then yesterday, of course, was 3 points. Like, we got a goal, our captain got the goal to make the difference. Games like that really stick to, you know, really helps to build your character. Like, our backs have been to the wall in every single one of them games, and how the girls have responded has been a real, real credit to them, and shows how much they really want it. You know, like in them games, you can have all the tactics, and I said this before, all the tactics you want. You know, in the last 6-7 minutes, when there's a couple of points in it, and you're coming down the last run of the game, it's just who wants it the most, and it's who's the hungriest, and who's, you know, who's willing to put the body in the line. And lucky enough, our girls have been willing to do that this last 3 games, and we've been doing it all year, but it's been really put to the test the last 3 games, and thanks be to God, we've got out with a W.
Yeah, you have indeed. Mo, the Sinead McBride goal, obviously pivotal, sending the teams in midway through the first half and at half-time level. In that second half, Mo, we're down just our last minute and a half here. What was the thing? Was it that bit of composure from Downing's, the fact they were level at half-time coming in the Breeze second half? Was that the difference in the teams? Was there an extra bit of composure?
Yeah, you could see that. They were like coming out into the second half. I suppose the first time that Downies are usually up at going into the second half. But yeah, it took about 5 minutes to settle in there from each side. And then Amy McLaughlin got two fabulous scores, you know, and that really drove them on. Then Lauren McBride, their Grace White got a point after that, but that was the only point they got in the second half. So, you know, they only got... They only got three from play, and Charlie Shevlin pulled off two great saves. Charlie Shevlin, and I mean that drove the team even more. The momentum was high then at that stage, and they were able to hold on. But it was definitely composure in the second half.
Yeah,
it was just fantastic.
Barney, Parnell Park 2 weeks in. I might chauffeur Mo down. Maybe Park, you chauffeur.
I'll drive. No bother.
We'll
show for Barney on the way up.
You're all welcome. How you
hey, an All Ireland final. We can't miss that one, Barney. If I get any chance, I'd love to see you. And listen, Barney, I want to wish you all the best. Brilliant couple of weeks preparation. Now, the flags are still up, and Santa's in the air, and the Downings are still on the go. Magic.
As long as it doesn't hit a few of them now on the way in. As long as it doesn't hit a few of them on the way in, we'll be all right.
Listen, fantastic stuff, guys. Listen, I'll be speaking to you, Barney, sure, in the coming weeks. And Mo, thanks as ever.
Cheers, Mo. Thanks, Barney. Best
of
luck.
Thanks a million for that. Thanks a million for that. And thanks, Mo, for all the coverage. Thanks a million.
Cheers, folks. Cheers, folks. Chat you after break. Yes, welcome back to DL Debate. We're going to look at the under-21 county finals, A and B. Clonmacnoise beating Burt. A brilliant second half performance from them, taking the B title. And what was an epic game of football, Glenn Swilly and Four Masters down in Ballyshannon yesterday. After the match, I caught up with winning captain Conor Reid. I mean, with Conor Reid, captain of Four Masters. Conor, have you got your breath back? What a game of football that was. And I know, listen, I'm sitting up from a neutral's perspective, but it looked like you're going to run away from it. But finals are finals. They've gone life for their own. But what a game of football. What was it like to play in?
Jeez, it was tough. Hey, Glen's really hard to beat. They never go away. Like, and them two goals before the half-time, they really changed the whole game for us, because we had chances in the first half, 10, 15 minutes, where we didn't take it. We were very wasteful. And then they brought themselves back into it. They're always going to do it. If you keep a team like Glen Swilly in it, they're always going to get back in. But we gathered ourselves in at half time, and it was physical, it was tough, but we really got into it then, I think. And to go 3 points down, to come back, show great character, especially from the young boys. So it's a great win.
Yeah, the game really seesawed at times, and it was amazing to see, because particularly I thought, I was just saying to your management team there, how well set up and how well drilled you were. Yeah. You were composed on the ball, but Gaelic football, even when we're looking for all these rule changes, it can just flip so quickly.
Massive. Them two goals, they flipped it all for us. But the boys are playing together all the time for school and college or whatever, like, and they're just used to playing with each other. It's not, well, we drilled it a good bit with John's great, you know, he's really, really good experience, and he was with the County Magners this year, and just to have him and to tie it all together. And them boys, I don't know, they're playing some amount of football, and they have some composure about them. Turla and Conor McCall and the boys, and they're class to play with. Like, they never seem under pressure, so they really kept the heads.
And Conor, you mentioned county there. How many of these lads now are, you know, you're looking at them? I know if I was a county manager, there's, and even a few of your subs that come on there, we just mentioned Conor Meehan as well. Conor, I mean, he had a huge impact.
Brilliant. Yeah. We all know the shooting and the how accurate Conor is. He's been all the time. He's always been like that. But I think we have 7 boys at the county 20s and 4 training with the county seniors. So anytime you have that, you're always going to have a good standard and good quality in training. And I don't think any of them don't deserve it. They all deserve to be where they are. And they're really, really good players.
And a huge day for you personally, to captain a team like this. You know, it's a great responsibility and a great honour for the club. And of course, they won the title. And of course, the lads were saying there's only a couple of lads over the bar next year. So, you know, the four Masters machine's going to roll on. Who's going to stop it?
We hope it doesn't stop anyone losing Senan Quinn, which is, he is a loss for us. He's big and he's physical around the middle, but we have boys like Tomas Carr coming in, another Carr on top of it again. But no, it was such a pleasure to captain my club. It means everything to me. Like I captain club over county any day. It's the biggest thing, and to have my family and my friends here today to win it was meant everything to me.
And what about the diamond this evening? Will you be making a few speeches there?
I don't know. I'm not great at the speeches.
Maybe 3 o'clock this morning.
Maybe 3 o'clock in a patch here if you're lucky or something. But no, we'll enjoy ourselves tonight.
Fair play, you can't enjoy.
Thanks,
thanks, man. Was Conor Reid making speeches in the Apache? I would like to know. Somebody from Four Masters could let me know. Barry Malloy has joined us in studio. Glenn Swally, stalwart. Barry, good to see you, lad. Listen, come up short yesterday, but as I was saying, huge courage from the lads, because there's no doubt in the talent is in this Four Masters. But, you know, there was, as Conor was saying there, the lads wouldn't give up.
Yeah. Listen, just first of all, congratulate for Masters and their victory. I know they've been operating at a high level there this last couple of years between 16s, minors, and now they've moved on to 21. So, look, they've been operating at that level, and that's where we're trying to get to in terms of what the boys are doing out at home with underage and all that. And but in fairness to our fellas, like the character that they've shown all year through the whole campaign, like they played McCool's, they played for Masters, we beat them at home. We played Termin at home. There's a tough game, semi-final last weekend to put Giroir away when they were probably everybody's favourites. It was just, you know, we didn't expect anything less from them, because that's the character them boys have. Like, and I suppose it's been instilled into them by Neil and Michael and Copper, and them boys has been working with them this last couple of years, and all the other coaches that they would have had down the years as well. Like, so... look, they're a credit to themselves. I said yesterday that for young men, they're a credit to themselves and their families and the club itself. So, look, I know it's disappointing. It's second year in a row. You know, we were very close last year, just didn't get over the line, and I suppose the same yesterday again. But look, there's a lot to build on and a lot to be positive about in the future.
Yeah, a lot of people involved, Park. You see that big lens, well, you know, you see all the lads. I've seen them warming up there, and you see like Copper and Me Savvy and all those boys and
back in, and it's good to see, I suppose, from a club point of view. And you know, when you're getting the likes of like Neil and Copper coming down with that little bit of knowledge as well, you know, so you can see the transition. And suppose, like, as Brian indicated, to beat Termin, it was a great game. And you know, I was impressed with Glensfully that day, you know, and I thought you know, to take out Gidor as well, and it can take a lot of positives. Look, trophies at the end of it, suppose a lot of people remember them, but you know, you do get a lot out of getting an odd defeat too. But look, Glenswally are definitely going to push you on.
Lee there, Barry, Brendan and them boys. I just see every time I see Glenswally, the boys are there. They put in some shift for the club.
Like Lee has been our coaching officer his last 10 years, I think. He recently stepped down the AGM, like, but I mean, he's been there, you know, over the years and driving that on as well, like. And you know, people come in and out and they do their bit, I suppose, but it's just interest levels, I suppose. And as you know yourselves, like, we're in a rural area, there's not much else that we have out there, like, so you know, it's just the interest that everybody has, like. And obviously, I mean, I've said it myself, like, you know, we're so lucky to have the likes of Michael and Neil that have come back in and done the work with the younger fellas, and those younger fellas are extremely lucky to have that.
I know,
kind of,
I can only imagine, like, having guys like that in any dressing room in Ireland, so they have lads like that there. But listen, not a lot of time here. You're on about the club and the focus. That all takes a huge bit of fundraising and you're constantly growing as a club with a lot of ambitions.
I think it may come to business after doing our stint with the club. Look, that's the reality of it now. Like, there's, you know, outside of the draw that we're doing at the minute, which we'll talk about in a second, but just to keep the thing running, like, it's a serious job of work that you have to do, like, and you're constantly thinking about how you can bring money in and all the rest, like, so to just keep the thing going, you know. I suppose we often talk about, you know, if you don't have a referee in the pitch, you don't have a game. But if you don't have the people on that side to keep the thing, the show on the road too, nothing happens, you know. So, but listen, where we're at now at the minute is probably most people are aware of. We have our facilities as they are. We have our main playing pitch, but we're just lacking the space. We just need more space. We need more training area and so on to cater for all the teams and the groups that we have. A lot of our groups were going to Letterkenny over the winter to train because we just can't cater for it out at home. So that's the aim of the draw now, that we're trying to raise enough money to develop our own training facilities going forward so they can cater for everybody in our own area, and hopefully, you know, that's basically what we're looking at doing.
It's a great problem to have as well. You can see, you know, the numbers, and every club's going through that, the work that even Unions have done and Glenswally's doing and Mulford now are raising as well.
They're becoming more and more just, and they always were the real hub of the...
Exactly, yeah.
And now as people develop their centre for gyms, and then ends up like... I was down Termin the other day, kids party going on and what have you, around the place. Like, there's everything happening now, you know what I mean? Yeah. So listen, that's a great thing for the club, because I think when you have that centre point, and there's something that's very drawn about the club, because even when you're there, when there's not a game on, there still has that wee bit of... feeling about the place.
Yeah, I've said that. Like, it's not even about what happens in the playing pitch now. It's about what's happening on the periphery of things. Like, there's so many other events and things going on. It's nearly like a community club now, not just a GAA club as such. Mm. You know.
And where do you get these tickets? And you're giving away what, 50k? So, good man.
We have 50,000 prize fund, and first prize €25,000. So with 12 additional prizes, and we have a website. There's Glenswally GA, 50k cash draw, tickets for €25 each, or 3 for 50 or 7 for 100. So look, we appreciate everybody that supported the draw so far. We've been out to a lot of the games, we've been out in areas selling, we've been in shopping centre, we've been at different events. So, you know, with the volunteers that have helped out with that, I'm not going to start naming names. Everybody knows who's involved.
Under nine girls games, Michael Canning had me.
Rattlesweaven. It'd be great if a good tournament man, the park was it.
I think even Maxi was giving out. He was saying everywhere you went in the county, the Glenswally boys were out and selling. They couldn't get a look on anywhere. But listen, just thank the sponsors as well, and club officers and everybody involved, and it's brought people together, and I suppose it's ignited a bit of interest again in that end of things. So
magic. Well done, Barry. Keep up the good work, and listen, we wish you all the best with the draw, Park. Thanks as ever, Joe Dix.
Thank you
for
Ben.
Producing, folks. I'm just going to play an interview with Ciara O'Kane I got earlier on today. We were shooting the breeze about many GA topics, and this is her, Ciara O'Kane from the Irish News. Ciara, how are you today, sir?
The very best, Brendan. How are you, lad?
You've got the coffee cup in the hand there, and you're just reading over an excellent Irish News edition again.
Oh, sure, here it keeps us entertained at the weekend, doesn't it? It would save me having to do a real job. So,
yeah, funny, Ciara, when we're following teams here, obviously the more teams hit Ulster, the better in terms of that. But of course, you have the brilliant, you know, you're at the hurling yesterday, seeing Sláinte over Portaferry, and of course, you know, all the brilliant that Ulster Club Championship is, hurling and football across the board. It's a great way, I suppose, to tie in the whole season, you know, that keeps the sport, and of course keeps the Irish News sports pages hopping.
Ach, look, honest to God, this is my absolute favourite time of year. I love the Ulster Club. I love the All-Ireland Club. I say this, and look at the provincial series we've had across the four provinces, like the Connacht final, Clare Stranhill yesterday, stunning Pearses. Like, there is not a single clear outstanding favourite in either football or hurling left in the All-Ireland Club season, and it's so refreshing, it's so changeable from any given year, and I just think that it just adds so much and it's something for people to do at this time of the year. Imagine if it wasn't on. What, we'd be going mad. We'd have to sit and watch West Ham and you know, like,
two at half time with Arsenal. That was my
That is true. In fairness, I picked a bad example this weekend, didn't I? Like, we'll go for somebody worse.
There's a couple of poor games on there, no doubt. That was a bit amazing. More like it maybe in the second half. If you tuned in at half time, you would have been a bit peed off for that one. No goals in the second half. But like you're saying, Ciara, there, maybe of all those teams, maybe the Kilcoo men now, of course, Ergil Kieran coming up in terms of kind of that wee bit of championship know-how and previous winners, are they looking now? I'm sure they're Gar Lazy's guarding against any of that, but they must be thinking, here, there's a title here potentially for us.
Look, absolutely. I suppose they'll be viewed now as the favourites because they've won it before. They're the only team left that has, well, not the only team left that has won it before, but I think it's hard to gauge ever quite where Munster football is at in the last few years. They're champions since Dr. Crokes 10 years ago, haven't had a particularly good record when they've come out into the All-Ireland semi-finals. So Ulster and Leinster is where you're looking. You would have been looking at maybe St. Bridget's if they had come out again of Connacht. You would have been looking at maybe one of the stronger Mayo clubs even, but now Pearces are gone too. That side of it's wide open. It is just so wide open. And Kilku will be fancied by a lot of people, and they could well do it, but I wouldn't be putting any fortune or money on them beating Errigal at the weekend. So, like, they might not even get out of Ulster either. So it is so, and that's the joy of it. That is the unpredictability of it, that we probably sometimes lack a wee bit in the intercounty. Now, we had a great intercounty season in that regard this year as well, but this is an annual event in terms of the club. There's just so much unpredictability built into it that it just makes, it just generates so much excitement, and it's just such a brilliant competition.
Yeah, and I think you're right on that. In terms of, you know, you never want to hammer a team in a semi and come in as such favourites, because Errigal have just been finding a way every game, even the game that they played us. We thought we had them beat, which quite a few teams have thought this year, but they haven't been beat. So I suppose there's a bit of resilience in that there, Ciarán. And listen, that's all given us interest. One thing probably got overdone in terms of, you're like, oh, here we go again, was the Derry management. But all that's been put to bed. And I was joking with you there. You would know that, you know, on any slow news day, there's huge excitement about the S&C coach. Maybe rightly so, after his involvement with Limerick. But I was just like, okay, bombs is dropping in terms of this huge side of the game. But then, Ciarán, that is a massive part of it. And if this man has... Obviously, he has a vested interest in helping out at Derry, and he's had his experience in All Ireland one and one, so could be a vital part of the team.
Yeah, look, Kerber's actually a fascinating character. I've spoken to him in the past when he was working in Limerick. He's been around successful teams, and I think one of the things that the teams that have worked with him have found is that, I suppose, he found his way in it quite young. And players then began to gravitate towards him in those setups because he was young. He was their peer. He was their friend. He wasn't just a coach. You know, that age gap between coaches and players that traditionally exists, and then the generation gap and different things and different interests and different... You know, Jarbra was in that playing group in terms of his age profile, and that made him somebody that became very, very popular, and then was clearly very, very good at his job. But he's lucky; he's got a fascinating backstory as well. Like his grandfather was Flann, who was famously an Irish language activist and wrote a column in the Irish Times, and was put in jail at one stage for not paying his TV license in protest at RT's neglect of the Irish language. And his relation, you know, his history in Cork, his grandmother's from Kilmacleagan in Cork, and he's Belfast himself. Like, and there's just such the name Cabral Carolyn. You read it and you think somewhere down the country, but he's pure West Belfast, and absolutely grounded in Irishness and grounded in his Irish language and his in GAA for St. Paul's, and would have played a wee bit there. And but obviously then moved down when he took up his jobs. And look, he comes with a huge reputation. It is it's a really significant appointment for Derry, given that, I suppose, it's taken them 4 months to get a management team together. And I think Paddy Talley have said this, that Paddy Talley, at the stage that they found themselves in, he was the best he could have done by an absolute country mile. And now to get somebody of Kerber's background in his backroom team as well, it really elevates the thing. You could feel that you almost put yourself in the player's shoes, and hearing that news the other day, and they're bound to have got a lift. I know maybe people that maybe don't take much stock or would think, what the hell would you be excited about a strength and conditioning coach for? Which is true, which is fair enough. But there is that, you know, he has a reputation. He has won everywhere he's gone, and we've seen the physical profile of the teams that he's worked with, particularly that Limerick team in recent years, and how their physicality was one of the key assets that they have had. So, yeah, look,
I was going to say, how high would you put the power aspect now? Because even from what I'm seeing there, even being involved coaching at, at senior club and that, I would rate it nearly as it's the top thing now, you know. The power has to be there first before anything. And the most powerful players on the pitch tend to be the ones that dictate a lot of the game. Now, I'm not saying that they'll necessarily win or lose it, but they certainly, in the engine room of the team, and you mentioned Limerick there, that ability to go end-to-end and just have that fuel and that power and to break tackles and to try and stop men, that, to me, is at the top now, I think, of anything a Gaelic footballer needs.
Yeah, look, it's been a sort of a long-running thing of trying to... Where exactly is the balance in all of that debate? Like, I suppose I think back to the Cork team that won the All-Ireland in 2010. Like, and I remember, you know, when they were knocking on the door and they eventually won one, it was kind of thought, geez, are they going to redefine what it is you need to play Gaelic football, because they're a massive, monstrous team and huge, big men all over the place. And people were looking at it that this is what you needed to be. You needed to be huge. And this came off the back of, you know, the tight-fitting jerseys and Armagh and all that stuff and the gym culture really coming in. But over the last 10, 12 years, there's been more of a push towards... I mean, if you were building the Gaelic footballer, you would build Brian Fenton, wouldn't you, really? Like, the size of him, but the athleticism as well. And, you know, there is a balance. There's no point having all the size and the power if you can't move around the field. The game is going to get faster with the new rules. It is going to be more up and down. It's going to maybe change again the profile of the athlete right across from club to county that you need, and also maybe alter... It'll change the profile of a middle eight player, but it could also alter the profile of a forward again, and actually forwards could go back to being ball winners, to being that wee bit stronger and going off 2 feet as opposed to, you know, loop players or speedsters. If you want to play on the fast transition, if you want to play in the fast break and you want somebody you can kick a ball to and be sure he's going to swallow it up and make it stick. So look, it's a never-ending debate that it's a never, and it changes all the time as to what is the right thing. And look, there's different answers for different positions, even. But you need the power.
You do, and you know it is hugely interesting. And people talk about there's players outside. I mean, we were talking about Derek Gilkeran, the two Canavans, but they are deceptively strong and fast, and their movement means that doesn't matter with them. It isn't that they're in any way. The physical thing doesn't come in it for them because they move so quick. So if you're going to be like a physically smaller player, if you've unbelievable pace, that counteracts that's in the same realm as kind of power pace, you know. I just think that depending on what position you play now, you can play lads to get inside and you just say it's going to help players to get now, but most of the players you say in that middle eight, you know, you can imagine that the power's coming in first, but it's going to be so fascinating to see all these rules come in and how they change things and the speed of the game and all that. And someone that has to get to grips with is someone you met, our own Messiah, Jim. I was having a crack with you over and back just about the dynamic of the question. Now, I'm going to speak to Jim in the week, and I know the questions you have to ask, and you're brave, no problem to you in asking them, because that is the talk that's out there in the province, you know, about how did you affect football and do you think about that, and do you, you know, is it something that is in your mind about the change in nature and how much people give off about it and put it back to that point? And you do have to ask them questions. Probably from my perspective, it's more when you're in the Donegal camp, you know, you don't mind these things. And I think probably maybe that's a wee bit selfish of us, because ultimately it brings success, but then there's a bigger issue. But you did put them questions to them, Karen. It was a fascinating interview. Did you enjoy it?
I did. Look, Jim's a fascinating character. I'd probably plagued him for a while to get him to agree to it and sit down. And it was good to sit down and sort of try and brought a wee bit at him and get a wee bit of depth in his feelings on those things. Because you're right, like it's one of those things that it has hung over his legacy, if you like, from 2011, 2012, 13, 14. And in all fairness, like, I mean, I suppose my job, I'm there to ask the questions, but my own feeling is that that Donegal team never, he said it and he was right. I would say that, I think the way he put it was like the Dublin game was how people wanted to view us, and that was us forevermore, amen, was the way he put it pretty much. And yeah. And that is probably a fair comment, because people do blame them for everything. Now, a lot of what happened in the aftermath with club football and other counties was they copied the 2011 template, but the Donegal that won All-Ireland 2012 was a very different team and a very different attacking unit. They were very, very, very good. I mean, I remember doing the video analysis. I was doing a piece on something or other. I think it was I met Michael Murphy actually a few months ago as well, and did a piece on with Michael, like, and the goal in the All-Ireland final in 2012 and the rehearsal and the diagonal kick pass and how often they worked on that in the weeks into the game. And actually when you watch the game back, like the goal was whatever, maybe 3-4 minutes in, and I think it was already the fifth or sixth time that they had attempted that long diagonal kick. You know, they really went after it. But, you know, when people in their mind's eye, when you asked them about that Donegal team, it was very defensive and it was very safe and it was slow and it was laboured. And you actually go and you watch the videos of that game in 2012, like, and it's actually funny. It was actually like my mind didn't remember, and I was at the game, but my mind didn't remember them trying it as often. But actually, I would tell you, I would say to anybody that listening, go to YouTube and watch the first 4 minutes of that game and see how often Donegal actually give the ball away by trying it, by wanting to be really adventurous. Like, so there is that side of it. And I do feel that that team got a bit of a broad brush in terms of how it's remembered, because 2012 was very different to 2011.
Do you not think they care 2012 that the thing was they got that more explosive counter-attack, but most of the teams they were playing hadn't obviously got the grips with what they were doing, and every team played their own game, if you like, which was perfect. So Donegal were breaking into space, and it made us look much more attractive, because the other team weren't getting the numbers back, and you had this excitement of sitting and hitting. So I think after that, was probably after 2012, was when it got sticky around teams putting in defensive shapes. I mean, the two games before that was, remember Baker's game in the first game of 2011. That was an actual, that was a bad game.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, in that semi-final, whenever Dublin got their numbers back, it ended up being a bit of a, both games were poor enough matches. But I think, you know, 2012 then, I think the way Donegal got their momentum, as Jim was saying, he knew what he had to work on, which is very different to now after this semi-final defeat, but he knew what he had to work on, and Donegal came with that explosive, a breaking pace, which teams just couldn't live with then, because they hadn't got their own defensive shape in place.
No, look, and it's, I suppose it's a point he has made, it's a point others have made for him, and again, I do largely agree in that what happened thereafter was a lot of people went very heavy on the defensive side of it. They all of a sudden became the end thing for coaching. Like, let's just focus on defence. This is our structure. And what you would have had in training sessions is just constant walkthroughs of you stand here, you stand there. This is where you are when the ball breaks down. This is, and it was all, everything was based around the defensive. And that was why the game got stuck. That was why the game got stuck for a few years, because
the problem was there is that the defensive shape is actually fine. It's when you, as you just said it there, when you got the ball. So when you get the ball, you explode, you look up, you go, because you've got extra numbers back, no, I'll just hand pass it back. And there was the killer. So if you had a team that, it's all right, it's putting in your defensive shape, because we've seen it many times with Dublin and even Kerry at times, that it's a different, when they get the turnover ball, next thing there's guys coming off the shoulders, there's guys coming tearing up the pitch. So that we out balls on and they're away. I think what, as you said there, what we got bogged down on was that safe ball back as the other team retreated, and they're like, oh, here we go.
Totally. Look, that is what happened. Everybody else fell into the trap, or not everybody else, but a lot of teams fell into the trap of it was just about the defensive side, and then the attacking side got completely neglected for a lot of years, and that was where the game got really, really stuck and start. And then, you know, it was starting very, very slowly to come out of it, but again, it had changed. You know, what in fairness, whether you agree or disagree as to how much of it is Donegal's fault or Jim McGuinness's fault, what it absolutely 100% did is change the nature of Gaelic football forever. You know, it meant that it and since what has grown has become the possession game, and then the possession game went too far, and that is it's a combination of everything is why we have these new rules, but the possession game and the defensive game combined were making for a horrendously ugly sport. And like I watched three club games on three consecutive weekends this year that were 0-0 after 20 minutes. And I just thought, no, look, this... And I would watch anything. I love Gaelic football. I don't mind the analytics. I don't mind the slower game or whatever at times. But sometimes you have to sit back and look at it just as a spectator and think to myself, what am I paying to come and watch this for? That team just kept the ball for 4.5 minutes walking around in a circle. In no other sport would that really be considered acceptable, as in the rules wouldn't allow you to do it. And so, you know, why would we be any different? And we had just gone too far down the road where it didn't look like it was going to fix itself and it needed the intervention. And I am full steam behind the new rules. I think they're brilliant.
Yeah.
I think they're so well thought out. I think they're going to make a massive difference. And then coaches will start working them out too.
But we have to constantly do that. Even with the 11 back there, Cahir, you know, in terms of the outfield players, you know, you're still going to have good numbers, you know, that are going to be sitting in. So it's still a challenge to break it down. But I totally agree, Cahir, around that. I think just our love of the game, we were holding on. And plus, even those games are dire, they're exciting at the end. Because it's 9 or whatever, 9-8, and it, you know, there's still a lot in the line for everybody, and I think somehow that kept us coming back. And we'll probably look back in these dark ages, going, a few of them games that you've mentioned there, going, what was going on between everybody involved, and how could we serve this up? But listen, it's going to be absolutely brilliant, Karen. It's brilliant for all us that love the game and are involved in the game in any way, shape, or form, because there's going to be like crazy stuff. Now, maybe a bit unfair to some of the players in terms of some guy tapping and going and you can't touch him, or he runs past you and he's away, and you know,
no, I don't think
you're protesting to the ref with your arms out. Hold on a second. There's going to be a lot of kind of wee small things, but it is just trial, and it's been assessed in after the league, right?
It's been assessed the whole year through. If they get to game two of the league and decide, look, you know, this is not at all the way we intended it to be. And actually, look, the more that I've looked at it now, I'm really fully behind it and like the proposals, like the arc for the 2 points. I would have actually kept the 4-point goal myself as well, but I could understand why. I think they jumped the gun a wee bit too early on that one, and I think there was a hint at the weekend that it might not be completely off the table for future. But the one that I would see is maybe the kick out arc where everybody has to be outside, or not you can only touch the ball outside the arc. I actually think, because you've banned the back pass to the goalkeeper, I actually think it's a wee bit unnecessary and a wee bit reductive.
Yes.
And because, you know, the problem with, so you go full court press in the current rules and teams worked out, so they banned the initial back pass, but then what teams just did was bring the second man behind and then he pops it to the goalkeeper and that was them out and the press was bit. But that out ball isn't on anymore. So if a team presses up, even if you get the kick out away, that man is under severe pressure and he can't go back to his spare man. Can't go back to his goalkeeper. So I actually think that the arc is maybe unnecessary, and I would like to see the rules without it in play. But look, we'll not complain too much, because there's so much thought and effort and time has gone into them, and I think they will make a big difference.
Totally agree, Cahir. Jim Gavin should have had you on the board. Hey, I'm done. Hey, you know what, Cahir? Listen, totally. I'm fascinated by it, and people are on about officiating and clubbing it. Listen, we'll find a way to do that. We just cannot find a way, as you said, to be watching games that are so negative and safe. We've got to get the spontaneity back, and that'll definitely be back. Cara, listen, I could talk to you all day, sir, but I got to read it up here, my man. Thanks for skipping across that and the great interview with Jim on Saturday's paper there, and keep up the good work, dude, and I'll be talking to you in the near future, no doubt.
Good man, Bretton. Thank you. Watch yourself.
Top stuff. Hey, Carol Kane, great lad. As I say, brilliant interview with Jim there. It was in the Irish News on Saturday. You probably pick it up online there. We're hoping to chat to Jim ourselves now next week. So I want to thank Cahar, my guest that contributed this evening, Pádraig Helfrich, Kenneth for producing earlier, Joe Dex as well. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions coming up shortly. I'll speak to you all next week.